Good morning, and welcome to you all here this morning. If there's any visitors in our midst, welcome as well. It is a beautiful morning. We have Thanksgiving, celebrating Thanksgiving today, but I feel we should be celebrating Thanksgiving every day. Are we not thankful every day for what God has provided? This morning, we're going to look at David a little closer in a few psalms, and how he was thankful in many different situations of his life. And it just will bring us, hopefully it will bring out how thankful we can be or should be through even the situations that maybe we don't feel like we're all that thankful for, but we can be, and God knows all things, and he does things for reasons. Opening Psalms 100, verses 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and into the courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. He says, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The Lord is God. He is our Almighty God. Before we pray, I forgot to tell you, or Abe Fair, I guess I'm not Abe Fair this morning, and you probably expected him. But he phoned me yesterday, and I didn't recognize his voice because it got quite a bit lower. He has a bad cold, so he asked if I would speak. So yesterday I went into preparation mode and prepared a message. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for all things that you have provided for us, for a plenty harvest, for food on the table for our families, for even us being here this morning, that we can praise you without being persecuted. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to praise you and glorify you. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing your Holy Spirit to be within each one of us. We just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, this morning, and we also ask you for strength this morning as we go through some of your words, that you can uplift us and give us strength to do that. Give me strength to speak. Be with us all this morning in thy precious name. Amen. At this time, we'll have two songs.
Seven.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. What a fitting song for what I have prepared for today. That's what David did pretty much all through the Psalms. He counted his blessings, even though sometimes maybe they didn't look like blessings at the moment, but he counted his blessings. Just want to start off with a few verses in Psalms 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Here he stresses that the Lord is his rock, and he is worthy to be praised. How many of us count the Lord as their solid rock and to be worthy to be praised all the time? Our focus is on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We know when we stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, we will not waver, we will not fall, because God will hold us there and help us through our tough times. And that's what David stressed here in this Psalms as he was going through some tough times. And you got to remember, I should maybe back up a little bit. When he wrote this Psalms, he had just been delivered from a lot of enemies and hardships and from Saul, which tried to kill him. So, and he still said, God is my rock, and he is worthy to be praised. He knew he had just delivered him from some tough times, from some enemies, from danger, and he praised God nevertheless. So, as I mentioned before, today is Thanksgiving Day. But if we think about it, should we not celebrate Thanksgiving every day? Every day is a thankful day. Just think about it. How many of you have one or two freezers full of food? How many of you have a warm house? How many of you have a warm family or a family, a loving family? Cars. Extra stuff. We have way more than what we need. I think sometimes we think we need things and we only want it. But that's the position we're in this country. I think most of us here, I would per se all of us here, are basically in that position. We don't have to wonder where our next food, where our next meal is going to come from. We have plenty. We have lots in this country. Let's be thankful. Each and every day. When we look around today, we see all kinds of Halloween stuff, but nothing for Thanksgiving. It seems like the world has forgotten about Thanksgiving. They're focused on Halloween. As soon as Halloween's over, the very next day, Christmas comes up. Where's Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving seems to be forgotten in this world, and yet we know we have so plenty. I want to go through Psalms 103 this morning. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I didn't know where to start and where to quit, so I'm going to read it all. And I'm going to take different parts out of it. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all mine iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are opposed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness his children's children, so such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I noticed that he ended the same way as he started. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Exactly the same two lines. David addresses his soul. The Psalms comes from the deep within his heart. He really was hurting. Don't know what kind of position he was in at the time, but we know David's life story. So this Psalms comes from deep within his heart. It is a prayer of nothing but praise to God. There is no supplication, no request, no petition, or plea. In this prayer, it is pure praise to God. David was awestruck with God's blessing. We are not told the circumstances in which David received the Psalms, but it is not difficult to imagine how it happened. Looking at his life, counting his blessings, instead of complaining about his burdens, it dawned upon David just how much God had done for him. Does it dawn on us how much God has done for us each and every day, each of every moment? I know Paul writes, he thanks God for the trials and tribulation he goes through. Do we thank God for that as well? Do we thank God for everything that we go through? Maybe good, maybe bad. But you know, there's a purpose for everything. I believe there is, to draw us closer, to make us who he wants us to be, mold us. He realized how good God had been and how undeserving he was in all these blessings. So thinking about how David expresses thanks to God, even in his tough times, difficult times, trials in his life, do we express thanks to God when we're going through a tough time in our life? Or do we complain to him about it instead? I think sometimes we are humans, and sometimes it's a lot easier to complain to him than to thank him. That's how we as humans are, but we need to change that. We need to think about it before we complain. What is God doing in my life? Even now, this time of the year, when we're asking or electing people to do some service in our church, are we praising God and thanking him for the opportunity that we have, that we can serve him in different capacities or different ways? Not only necessarily may be even in our church, but also in our jobs. And any opportunity God puts in front of us that we can actually be a blessing to someone, do we thank God for those opportunities? I'm not sure how many of you were in church last Sunday, but Reverend Jay had a message on serving. Serving in the church in any capacity, doesn't matter what it is, but we're doing it from our heart. We're doing it for God. Are we looking at it that way, or are we looking at it, do I have to? When we accepted Christ as our Savior, did we really mean it? Think about that. I think it's our duty to do what God asks us to do when we are a child of God. Just like when we're children of our parents, when we grew up, there was duties to do in our home. We did them. Sometimes reluctantly, but we did them. If we didn't do them, then there was consequences. The same is today. We're children of God's. He asks us to do different things. Maybe just giving someone a smile. It may be as simple as that. Someone that's down, and it's just encouraging someone. But it is something that God wants us to do. If you ever think about it, most of the songs and psalms are written and inspired by people that have gone through trials and tribulations in their life. They are written from the bottom of their hearts because they're pouring their hearts and their souls out to Jesus. When I think of this, I always think of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." That gentleman that wrote that song, he had lost his family. And yet he came to the realization that it was well with his soul. It's okay. Jesus allowed it, and Jesus will bring him through it. It hurts, but it was well. It's going to be okay because he left it in God's hands. Let's leave our troubles and our sorrows in God's hands. Like David the psalmist, are we coming to church with a heartfelt excitement to praise God and worship him? Or are we coming to church because we think it's the right thing to do and it feels good? There's lots of things in our life that it feels good when we do it, but it's not always the right thing to do. It's not godly. Let's examine ourselves and make sure it's a heartfelt, sincere, godly thing, and we want to praise God. These words are not dry and stale when David sang them. They were full of life and energy. They were part of his worship. You'll recall that David was accustomed to dancing when he worshiped God. David sang it with joy and with deep desire to let God and all else who could hear know just how much he really wanted God to receive praise and glory. So my question is, when we go out in the world, when people see us, can they see through us that we are loving and praising God? Do they know, can they see a difference between Christians and non-Christians? If not, I think we as Christians need to pick up the pace a little. They need to see a difference. They need to see that we're excited. to worship God. When we're going on a trip and doing different things that we're really excited to do, we wake up early in the morning, we're excited, we pack, and people can see, hey, this guy's excited about something. I'm hoping they can see the same thing when we serve God. Psalm 67, 1-7. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even her own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. David starts out and says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us. Be merciful. God is a merciful God. But his plea was, be merciful. I am a sinner, but be merciful unto me. I hope that's your plea as well. Psalm 66, verses 1-4. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible, I looked at that word, it was awesome. How awesome art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of the power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Here David realizes that God is an awesome God. He is awesome in all things. One gentleman once told me, he says, we talk about awesome, oh, this is awesome, my car is awesome, the food tastes awesome. He says, we need to leave that word for God. God is awesome. He's the only one that is worthy to be praised. Let's look at God as a friend that will never leave us, a friend that will help us through all trials, any situation we're going through. God is there to help us through it. Psalms 92, 1-5. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. David had an excitement and enthusiasm when he praises and worship God. Question to us today is, do we have an excitement? When we're asked to serve, or when we're asked to sing songs, or when we're helping or ministering to others, even when we're at work, can people see that we have an excitement for Christ? David had an excitement. He was a magician. He did sing, but anytime he sang, it sounded like he was praising God, and he did that quite often. We're all not magicians, but we can praise God in many different ways. Let's do that. And our people seeing that we are excited for him. David believed he can praise God even though of all his mistakes he made. He realizes that Jesus is the advocate and died on the cross for his sins. He knows that Jesus had bought them with a price for their sins. Though they are like scarlet, they have been washed white as snow. The sins belong to Christ when we give them up, and David knew that. David had a deep relationship with Christ. He understood Christ 100%. Christ was living inside of him. And that's a good example for us today that we need to have a real good, close, intimate relationship with our Savior. And then our problems in our lives won't feel like a great mountain that we cannot climb. God helps us carry our burdens to the cross and buries them in the depths of the sea. Isn't that wonderful? When we bring our burdens, our sins to Christ, he buries them and never brings them back up. They're gone. James 5, 14 to 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He healeth, Psalms 147, 3 to 7. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Here he stresses in both passages, if there's any sick among you, bring it to God. He'll help us in one way or another. He may not heal us physically, but he's going to help us through it, whatever situation we're in. In the Psalms 147 there, he says, he healeth the brokenhearted. He bindeth up their wounds. He cares. He knows. He calleth all of us by name. He knows us personally. I know we all have had a broken heart at one time or another, or have had wounds, different things, wounds in our life or wounds in our soul. We come to him, and he'll help us through it. And I have been in a situation where I've even had where he's carried me through a situation for a couple months. I felt the day he picked me up, and I felt the day he let me go. That was a very tough day of my life. He knew I could walk on my own, so he let me walk, but it was tough. But I got through it. So that poem, one set of footprints in the sand. I understand that because I felt it when he's carried me. And I'm pretty sure he's carried some of you along the way. Let's thank God for that. He's there to help us. In verse 4 of our passage there, God loves us so much, he keeps our life from going to hell. To sum up this morning's part, this first part, number one, beware, forget not his benefits. Number two, be honest. Don't be a phony. Don't put on an act. Phony Christians turn off people. Number three, be grateful. There is nothing that encourages praise like gratitude. Have a thankful heart. Be vocal. Tell someone. Sing his praises. Bless someone with a testimony. Number five, be natural. Praise God in a way that is natural for you. Don't try to be someone that you're not. Be you, but praising God. Number six, be constant. Making praise God part of your, making praising God part of your everyday experience. Are you living a meaningful life, a satisfied life? Does your soul have diseases that need to be healed? Are you living with an eternal purpose? These are all questions we can ask ourselves. Remember, the only Bible somebody may ever read is when they see you. They see your life. Let's remember that. The way we walk in the world today, no matter where it is, down the street, at work, in the grocery store, in church, in a restaurant, in our homes, let's walk the way God wants us to walk. At this time, I want to give everyone an opportunity to go to him in prayer. I know there's some in our congregation that is hurting or with health. I know Ernie and Helen Craker. Ernie Craker is dealing with different health issues, and there's many others. And we ourselves are. Let's go to God and ask him to help us. If you are able, please kneel with me. May God hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
The blue hymnal number 508, Now Thank Thee, All Our God. Number 508, for those who are able to be stand the same, please.
Oh,
God is merciful and he will answer our prayers when we are sincere. I came across a story, and I'm going to start with reading a story and try to relate it a little bit to the second part of the passage I want to go through to this later on. So the story goes this way. On January 12th, 2007, a poor man, hoping for donations by playing music in a public areas, had stationed himself in a metro subway station in Washington, D.C. Wearing street clothes and a baseball cap, he played on his violin, with his violin case open on the pavement in front of him. He was hoping for donations during the morning rush hour. It was a cold January morning, and most people were uninterested in his dilemma. And besides, they were in a hurry. They didn't notice as he played pieces written by Johann Sebastian Bach with incredible skills. He played for around 45 minutes until the crowd thinned away and rush hour was over. It was estimated that more than 1,000 people walked by this rather hopeless man. In fact, only 7 people listened for a moment or two before hurrying away. One middle-aged man seemed to recognize him and stopped for a minute or two to listen, then dropped a $20 bill in his violin case. No one else paid much attention, including a handful of people who tossed some money toward him. At the end of rush hour, he had made $32.17. When he finished playing and the beautiful music stopped, he packed up everything, and no one recognized who he was. Now one knew that 3 days earlier he had No one knew, now one knew that 3 days earlier he had sold out his concert in Boston. No one knew he was playing on the Gibson Stradivarius worth millions of dollars. No one knew this was Joshua Bell, the celebrated violinist who had debuted years earlier at the age of 17 in Carnegie Hall. This metro station event was an experiment. Cameras had been set up to record people in the crowd, people too busy to offer any kind of thanks to this talented man or even a tangible donation. Would anybody notice who he was? Would anybody stop? Would anybody applaud his talents or thank him for the brightening their morning rush hour? The reporter who came up with this event would go on to win a Pulitzer Prize for his documentary on this event at the subway station in Washington, D.C. It was an experiment that exposed the easily distracted, self-focused, unobservant, ungrateful side of the human heart. I don't know about you, but I can see myself in the crowd rushing by and missing the moment. This kind of event is about to take place in the lives of 10 men. So if you noticed, the people in their busyness and rush of time, they didn't even recognize this man that many would flock to a concert and pay quite a few dollars for a ticket, and yet they just rushed by and didn't hear him for free. They didn't recognize him. So today we're going to look at Luke 17. Luke 17, 11 to 19. We're going to look at the story of the 10 men that had leprosy. I'm going to read it as follows. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He's talking about Jesus here. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." First of all, in this story, the Samaritans were classified as outcasts. The lowest of the lowest people, the Galileans, the way I understand it, weren't much different. But Jesus, being a Jew, walked right through the midst of them anyway. And the Jews had nothing to do with these people. And then the lepers, they were classified as unclean, diseased. They were to stay away from all people. They were living probably just outside the village because they couldn't come into the village. Nobody had anything to do with them. People stayed away from them because they were contagious. You notice that the 10 lepers noticed who Jesus was and yelled out to him to be healed. They took time to notice Jesus and realized who he was, that he could heal if they had the faith and called out to him. Just like in the story that I just read, do we notice who people are, or do we just walk by in our busy life? Let's take time and know who Jesus is. One of my favorite passages is Psalms 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. I think a lot of times in our busyness of life, do we take time to pray? Do we take time to read his words? Do we take time to know who he is? You know, being a Christian is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what do we have to do? We have to spend time with him. When we have a relationship with our husband and wife, when we first met, or our children or a friend, to get to know them better, we need to have a relationship. We need to talk. get to know who they are. Let's stop. I don't think our life should be that busy that we can't take the time for Christ. Let's stop a little bit and think, what can we take out of our life? What can we just pull back on a little bit, slow down a little bit, and spend a little bit more time with Jesus Christ, with friends, with people that need a visit? There's many people that can't get out as well as we can because they're older, or they can't walk as well, or health. Do we take time to go visit them? But most of all, do we take time to read the Bible? Or in the evening, in the morning we wake up and we got to get to work because we didn't leave ourselves enough time in the morning. We didn't set the alarm clock soon enough. And in the evening we're too tired, so we go to bed. And there goes our life. Day, another day, and we don't spend time with Christ. Without seeming to do anything to heal them, Jesus merely gave the instructions to go show themselves to the priest at the moment of Jesus' instruction. So Jesus didn't heal them right away, but he gave them instruction. Go to the priest and show yourself. The men were still lepers. No physical change had yet taken place, but faith, the men obeyed as they began to walk to the priest. Then they were healed. Jesus wanted to see if they would obey his instruction. Jesus always requires faith on the part of the person who asked for healing. Many times he asked those who wanted to be healed, do you believe that he can do this? He required a demonstration of faith on the part of the lepers in asking them to walk away even before he had healed them. The Bible does not record how far they had walked before being healed. However, only one man returned to thank Jesus for the healing. Luke makes a special mention in the fact that the one who returned was a Samaritan, a person despised by the Jews. Jesus expressed disappointment that the other nine had not thought to give praise to God for their healing. He asked the one, where are the other nine? From this we learned that God desires for us to express our thankfulness to him for all he does in our lives. So that's just a thought for us as well. When God does something in our lives, do we go on our knees or take some time, take a moment to thank God for what he has done? Even though Jesus did not withhold healing from the nine who did not thank him, he made a point of noting their lack of gratefulness, verse 18, because they had faith. All ten were physically healed, but Jesus' final words of the grateful Samaritan implies that this man received spiritual healing in addition to the cleansing of his skin. After the man was already healed of leprosy, Jesus said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you whole. Verse 19. It could be that the man's return to fall at Jesus' feet gave him spiritual wholeness, in addition, the physical wholeness he had received. When we take time to acknowledge the giver and not just the gifts, we please God as well as enjoying spiritual healing and blessings that comes from gratefulness. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here it's very clear that our body, when we become servant of Jesus Christ, a child of God, we are not our own anymore. We are now His. And if we're His, should He not have complete control over our body? We do not no longer have control over our body anymore, even though we do make the decisions and we feed it and work. That yes. But spiritually, God controls who we are, should control who we are. When God asks us to do something or when God's molding us, listen to Him and see what He has to say. Allow God to control who we are. We're not now doing things for ourselves anymore. We are now doing things for God. Things change when we become a Christian. Colossians 3:15-17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 17 there says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not half, not a little bit, not mostly, but all. Give ourselves to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Two very short verses, but I think mean a whole lot. Rejoice evermore. In other words, always rejoicing. Whatever God puts in front of us, rejoice. Good or bad, rejoice. God knows and God uses it for good when we accept it for good. Pray without ceasing. Does this mean that we're on our knees and we pray to God 24/7? No. This means whatever we do for Him. Our mind's set. We're meditating on Him all the time. It doesn't matter what we do for Him. Even at work, instead of having a blank mind, we're thinking about Him, thinking about different situations. We're always doing it for God. Our mind is always set on the Lord Jesus. And then in everything, give thanks. This means good or bad. In everything, it says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We're always giving God thanks. Everything we do, let's be focused on God. Most of you probably know this song, but as I was preparing, I thought of this song. So I thought I'd read it here. And hopefully you take this to heart and you'll do the same. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Lord, as the morning sunbeams brings the warmth and light and drives away the shadows lingering from night, your love will do the same if we let it shine through. As I go about today, there's one thing I want to do. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Just a smile perhaps will do to help along their way. Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word to say, Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. May I not look so far away that I can't see the hands that are reaching out so close to me. When I lay my head upon the pillow tonight, may I have the peace of knowing that what I'm trying to do was right. And I'm going to read the chorus again. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Just a smile perhaps will do to help them on their way. Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word to say, Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Let's think about those words. You know, just a smile. I heard one lady one time, she went through a very difficult moment of her life. She was kind of down. And someone came up, didn't say anything, but had a real glow on her face, lifted her up. She says, that's what I needed that day. Someone just to smile at me and be cheerful, knowing that God was looking after her. We don't always have to say much, maybe not even anything at all. But can people see the love of Christ in all of us here today? Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again to thank you for all the blessings you have done for us. Please be with us, guide us, give us strength. And as we take these words home today, let us cherish these words and apply them to our life. Be with us and guide us, Lord, through all our situations. In thy precious name we pray, amen. So I'm going to give everyone another opportunity to go down, Jesus, and pray to him whatever's on your heart. Whatever's on your heart, pray to him. You can come to him anytime. But let's take this opportunity. So the ones that are able, could you kneel with me in prayer once more? May God hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Once again, the blue hymnal, page 509. Come, ye thankful people, come. Page 509.
Raise the song of my rest. have a blessed Thanksgiving Sunday.
Thank you, Jonathan, for those announcements. Yes, I also want to wish you a very blessed Thanksgiving Sunday, and may God bless you as you meet with your families. And let's remember, let us show others that Christ is living in us. I have nothing more to bring to you other than if you want to bow with me for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Walk carefully, the Lord is watching. Thank you for coming, and have a very blessed day.